Could you start out by introducing yourself?
Yes, I'm John Hunter, J-O-N-H-U-N-N-E-R. So I'm John Hunter. I'm a professor of public history and U.S. history at New Mexico State University.
Okay. And, you know, I gave you some questions. Mm-hmm. What is your focus,
I have two foci focuses. I concentrate on two areas in history. One is I teach U.S. history, and particularly 20th century West, and even more particularly Atomic West. I have a book out called Inventing Los Alamos. I have another one that's in press called Chasing Oppie, which is a biography of Robert Oppenheimer. But my main duties down here at New Mexico State are to direct the public history program. So I work with mainly graduate students who want to be historians but not necessarily teach in a classroom, work in museums, save historic buildings, work in archives, do oral histories, and possibly even interviews like what we're doing right now.
Right. I was thinking of radio. Mm-hmm. So could we, if you don't mind starting out talking about some of the first settlers in this area or first people, settlers would be the best thing to start in.
Okay, well, of course, the first people were Native Americans. Mm-hmm. Maybe go back 15, 20,000 years. So there have been people here for a long, long time. It was cyclical before water was able to be regulated. So in the winter, they would be living down here. In the summer, they would be going up to the cool areas up in the mountains, in the north and south, the east and the west of us. You probably are thinking of the first European settlers.
I don't know why I had put it in that actual order, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I am definitely thinking of the European settlers, but I wanted to touch on, you kind of talked about the cyclical, mm-hmm. being cyclical because of water.
Mm-hmm.
In the north, with the Pueblos, they have some they're not acequias, but they're something similar to acequias
mm-hmm.
that they had before. Is there anything, are there any different communities or nations here that had used any kind of irrigation or?
There's evidence that people lived here, but whether they used the waters of the Rio Grande and irrigated, I don't know. You'll have to talk, to an archaeologist.
Okay.
I can't help you with that. And also, since summer is not the time to live here, and that's the growing season, there might not have been a whole lot of agriculture here. But there were settlements here, and people did live here, they passed through. And there also are some ruins that are around here as well.
Okay. And so, yeah, if you could talk about the settlers.
Europeans have passed through here since the 16th century. Explorers passed through here in the middle part of the 16th century, and then, of course, Don Juan de Oñate led a party of about 700 people passing through here on the way up north in 1598. But from 1598 to the early 19th century, there were no settlers, partly because this was very isolated and inhospitable, partly because the Apaches and other tribes were around and didn't allow settlers to stay for very long. So the Europeans who were here for that time period, just Paso Porquí, just passed by here on the way up to northern New Mexico on the El Camino Real. The first European settlers were, it's hard to say because it's kind of lost in the mist of memory. There's a woman by the name of Doñana. We're in Doñana County, so our county's named after her. She supposedly had a hacienda a bit north of Las Cruces on the Rio Grande, and we don't know a lot about her, just that there's this mythical person, Doñana. But she did live there for a little while, maybe in the 1820s. There were other, after Mexico won its independence from Spain, Mexico started giving land grants to people in the southern part of the state here, as well as other parts. And so there were some land grants that European settlers started to get into in the 1830s. But it was always a bit dicey because of the Apaches who were around. But there were some land grants, 1830s, 1840s. Then in 1846, when the Mexican-American War occurred and the United States came in and took this land from Mexico, they brought in the military. And the military presence here was sizable, so much so that the Apache raids lessened, so that people then started creating bigger and bigger communities. And it was centered around agriculture, centered around the river, even though the river's flows go up and down with the seasons and with rainstorms. But still, it was an agricultural way of life here from the 1840s for at least a few decades. It was some commerce. Las Cruces is at a crossroads north-south of El Camino Real, and then after the Santa Fe Trail came in, this part of the trail was called the Chihuahua Trail, and also east-west, the Butterfield Overland Stage Route. So Las Cruces, Mesilla were at a crossroads. So there was some commerce going on and some freighting, but mostly it was agriculture and ranching as well.
Okay. And they did use canal systems?
They had some canal systems that came off the river. The acequia that goes through Mesilla just to the west of the plaza supposedly is the original canal system. But it's a little different than up north because there are no streams that you can bring an acequia off of like up north. Mm-hmm. The sole water supply is the Rio Grande.
Okay. And I know in the north and with Esteban Arellano, he just did the translation of this book that was kind of a guide. I can't remember the name of it, but it was kind of a guide for the Spanish and I think Native people that came up from Mexico. Mm. It was Mexico. Mm. And I don't know if that was kind of in use to hear.
I don't know this book, so.
Okay, and I can't remember the name of it. He just translated it, and I couldn't find it where I was looking, so. I know he has it, and okay. It should be at Moby Dickinson's house, if that helps you out.
Yeah. I'll go write it.
Yeah, right over.
I'll see you later.
Okay. Right. And I guess it was self-sufficient. I mean, it was. You know, this is kind of a special climate, mm-hmm. and they were isolated just like they were in the north. Mm-hmm. So they had to be self-sufficient, and they had to be able to grow. You know, what were some of the crops, I guess, is?
You're right, Sarah. This was a subsistence community, subsistence economy, where they had to grow pretty much what they needed throughout the year. So they had some livestock. They had some pigs and some sheep, probably a few cattle, but not a lot because it takes a lot of feed to keep cattle alive. Probably the cattle and horses were more for transportation and pulling carretas and wagons and things like that. They also grew some beans. They grew some vegetables like squash, some melons. Probably grew some corn as well, but I'm not positive about that one.
Okay, is it okay? That's I guess because corn is such a staple in the north.
It's a staple in the north. It's a staple in the south in Mexico. That's why I assume they grew it here. But I'm just concerned about the water supply.
Okay.
And the Rio Grande would have water coming down from spring runoff. And then we also have a monsoon season down here like the north. So periodically we'd get huge rainstorms that would refill the Rio Grande. But it might, on some summers, might go dry.
Okay. Right. Yeah, and it is hard. Now, I mean, you need an archaeologist and a lot of...
And I can point you to some archaeologists who maybe know that better than I around here, too.
Okay, maybe even just to, maybe not for an interview, but uh-huh. to get some confirmation.
Okay, I can give you some names.
Okay.